And Shades of Green welcomes you once again here on Campus FM 103.7, the programme that shows you all the shades of our environment. I'll just remind you that this programme is broadcast for you every Tuesday at 14.30 with a repeat on Fridays at 20.00. And we have spoken about many industries working towards a better environment, and today we shall speak about the role of NGOs locally, one in particular. So good day to you all, and I hope you're all feeling fine. This is Vanessa as always, and as always I thank you for being there and listening in on us. Today we have a special guest with us, Mr. Vincent Tart, who has come from Nature Trust, a local NGO. So wherever you are, stay tuned with us to find out more about this organization. Mr. Tart, welcome on this program. Good day to you.
Yes, good day to you as well.
Thank you for coming in on this program and participating in our discussions. So would you like to tell us a bit something about yourself and your interests, of course?
Okay, well, to be honest, I started liking the environment at a very early age. In fact, I joined Nature Trust when I was a boy of 12. That was in 1972. In fact, my biology teacher was then involved in the organization, Mr. Edwin Lanfranco. I'm sure many of you know him. And since then, I never stopped being active. Today, in fact, I'm the president of this NGO. The NGO has grown very, very big. We are over 2,500 members, which is a very big organization. Considering that when we started the organization, I remember when I entered the organization, it was 800 members and 600 of them were British. So today, having 99% Maltese out of the 2,500 means quite a lot. And this shows
it's
that
a big step forward.
The Maltese public is starting to realize the importance of the environment, why we should protect it. And in a way, it makes you feel good because you know that what you're doing is something you are achieving.
Not only for yourself, but also for the future generations.
Yes, that's it. We do a lot. I mean, sometimes people tell us, how come we have never packed up and went away? My answer always is, if we were to look at the green places we still have today, if we weren't here, we might have had less. So maybe what we have today is thanks to NGOs like Nature Trust and even the other NGOs that work on the island for the fantastic work they are doing, which in a way is promoting environmental education, environmental awareness, and maybe even bringing changes in things that could be degradable to the environment.
Mm-hmm. Gradually, the Maltese are starting to move along.
That's it. Uh-huh.
So, well, I have a statement here which reads this. Committed to the conservation of Maltese nature by promoting environmental awareness, managing areas of natural and scientific interest, and lobbying for effective environmental legislation. That is a statement that has a lot of implications. And what are your comments about that, Mr. Attard?
Well, when we initially started trying to come up with a mission statement, obviously Nature Trust is, as I said, it's an NGO that was formed in 1962, so the aims and, the main aims of the organization were quite different at the time. It was mainly to bring together people with interest in the environment. Obviously, since 1962 to today, things change a lot. People started looking at the environment more from rather a hobby of seeing butterflies and just watching the flowers, that they wanted to be more proactive with today's problems on the environment.
Yes.
So what happened was that, I can say, in 1962, we had the Natural History Society of Maltese, it was then named. Then in 1974, we changed the name to Society for the Study and Conservation of Nature because of the law that we couldn't use Malta in the name. Eventually, in 1999, other NGOs decided to merge as well. So the SSCN, Arbor, Verde, and Marine Life Care Group decided to become Nature Trust as it is today. Coming to the mission statement, yes, the mission statement.
So that was the mission statement of Nature Trust.
No, the mission statement is in a way it was discussed recently. So that is our new mission statement. It covers our three main areas. First is creating public awareness and environmental education, mm-hmm. which we believe is the basis of all to get the public to really appreciate what they have on locally on the island and why it is important to protect it. I mean, many do not know that, for example, we have a lot of endemic plants and animals on the island. Many do not know that, for example, we have 1,000 wild plants, which is similar to the number UK have. Mm-hmm. So these are things that we try to make the public aware.
Mm-hmm. The problem with that is that, even speaking from a community point of view, sometimes we go abroad and we say, oh, look at the greenery and look at the mountains mm-hmm. and look at the hills, and we have nothing of that. It's just barren land that mm-hmm. we have in Malta. But that is actually not true. As you said yourself, we've got lots of endemic species.
Yes, in fact, one can say that when you're on an island, it's very interesting because the evolution takes a separate process. So you get end up with, like, we have the all lizards on the Maldives Islands are endemic. We have the freshwater crab, which is another interesting animal. Mm-hmm. We have lots of wildflowers, which are endemic, snails, and these are all very interesting. The other part of the mission statement is actually managing sites. We do manage sites. First of all, Nature Trust is a privileged partner of WWF, this World Wildlife Fund, so we work very close to WWF and like WWF, that is, we manage nature reserves and try to promote these nature reserves to create more public awareness. In fact, Nature Trust has a nature reserve that is close to university, which is Vitollia. This okay. nature reserve gets about 4 school visits every week, wherein we show children how one can protect the environment and appreciate the environment. We have Sand Dune, which is at White Tower Bay. We have also another area, which is a salt marsh in Marsaschlok. Recently, we also got an award for a life project from the European Union, which was quite a big project. We're getting about 320,000 euros, which would be about 180,000 Maltese lira, mm-hmm. and that is actually to create a conservation plan for Dweira and Gozo. It will not be just a conservation because we strongly believe that nature and for example, industry like tourism can go together.
And as well as culture, of
that's
course.
That's it. And the project will actually cover not only the conservation of the area, but we're mm-hmm. going to create visitors flow management in the area, introduce ecotourism activities, mm-hmm. Try to bring around more environment-friendly activities in the area. Like, for example, we're studying on how to use alternate energy in the center itself, in the boats themselves. So it incorporates quite a lot and a lot of work. All this takes up most of our time. The last item, just to not take long, is that we are an NGO, and like any other NGO, we lobby for a better environment. In this way, for example, we make reports that are presented to the government, to the members of parliament. We hold discussions. We try to influence legislation. For example, Nature Trust was active in even the environmental chapter negotiation in the MUSEC. For example, we are also members on the Green Commission of the Malta Tourism Authority. We are members of the National Council for Sustainable Development. And all okay. these have that we try to influence.
In fact, I wanted to ask you this. How much of an influence is the voice of NGOs, the reports that the NGOs throw up? How much are they of influence to the government, to the laws and to the legislation?
Yes, well, it's twofold. One thing is that obviously being a very active NGOs, maybe have noted, we have nearly 2 press releases every week on mm-hmm. environmental issues on the island. In a way, this is creating a lot of public awareness, so the public is becoming more aware and the public outcry is behind us in a way that mm-hmm. when you see the politicians who are looking for votes, they then start listening to what the public is saying. The other thing is that obviously now with Malta becoming an EU country, we are looking more, the authorities are looking more at the Aarhus Convention, which gives a voice to civil society and NGOs. And the authorities are committed to actually consult and discuss with NGOs. So this gives us a position where we can actually contribute with our ideas, with our suggestions. And although not always our suggestions are taken, but there are times when our suggestions have been taken up and put forward. In other areas, for example, when we are close to a general election, we always present a memorandum to the political parties why, what things can be improved. In every budget, for example, when budget approaches, we also make a memorandum to the finance minister on, for example, green incentives like polluter pays principle or what can be done with plastics or incentives for solar energy. And these things that in the last budgets, one can see that there was a move towards this type of mm-hmm. green budget mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. as well in our islands. And it's through this lobbying that we do that these things change.
Do change. Okay. So what about initiatives that are being undertaken by Nature Trust to promote educational values? And mm-hmm. we divide this thing into two. Yeah. We'll look at the educational aspect within a school. So what is the role of a Nature Trust within the school? And what is the role of Nature Trust within the community?
All right. As I said, Nature Trust gives a lot of how do you say, a lot of emphasis on education.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we have an education committee. The Nature Trust has various committees apart from the main council, the National Council. One such committee is dedicated solely to education, and it looks into various levels of education, that is, we're looking at the children level, youths level, and adults level. But coming to the first item, schools, Nature Trust is the FEE representative. FEE representative is the it's like an international body, the Foundation for Environmental Education, and it gives out standards like any other standards organization on a national, international level. FEE gives out the Green Flag, which is an award given to schools that are called eco schools that achieve standards in environmental criteria. It has the Blue Flag, which covers Blue Flag beaches, that mean beaches that are good with good water quality, facilities for the visitors on the beach, respecting the environment of the beach, and marinas as well. It has the Young Reporters. All these are covered under the FE umbrella.
Yes.
And whoever gets an award on the from the FE has like a sort of an ISO recognized standard. Now, with regards education in schools, Nature Trust is running Eco Schools in Maltese. We call it Eco Scola. We've given it a Maltese name as well, where schools actually have to participate in this by forming a committee in each school. The committee has to be formed between the students themselves, the teachers, caretakers, everybody can get involved. But the main thing is that the children have to run the committee. So it is the children who will be doing the things, deciding on what to be done, doing the environmental
even
order.
Even from an early age?
Yes, even. In fact, I'm happy to say that most of the schools participating are primary schools. And the meetings we had with them, it shows that the children are very keen to actually do something. They are keen, for example, to see how they can reduce waste, take lunch boxes instead of taking plastic bags and throw them in the waste paper bin. For example, if they see a tap dripping, they report it to the caretaker so they save on water. They switch off lights in the classroom. All these are initiatives that can be taken. They set up a nature area in the school or plant trees in the school. And in a way, this helps because apart from the children working to improve the environment of the school, they are learning to appreciate the environment.
Yes.
And
even
this makes them
small things.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
I mean, this might sound really, you know, like a small thing to close a tap or maybe switch off the light. But at the end of the day, it's saving energy consumption.
Yes, yes. And in a way, it not only gets the school to win the Green Flag, which is the international ecological award for schools.
Yes.
But at the same time, the aim of this, because FE was first set up by Europe, within the European Union countries as well. And so the idea was to actually push on from an early stage the Agenda 21. What is Agenda 21? It's mainly a community that works to improve the locality where they live. And so when you have a school that is working, let's say a school in a town or village that's already working within the school to improve it, once these children grow up and go back in the community, they would be already prepared and feel responsible to take this further up in the community.
Yes.
One further step we did, and our coordinator for Eco Schools is Dr. Paul Patch, who is well versed with education as well, is that we are trying to get local councils to second schools in this initiative. The idea is to actually get the local councils also aware what the schools are doing, and in this way we are already moving towards the community.
Right.
And in a way we are trying to also reach up the Agenda 21. With regards to the community, as I said, apart from this, which is aimed at going back in the community, we are working also with local councils. Local councils, we do guided walks for local councils where people from the locality are taken around and, for example, to visit a locality of natural importance. One similar example was we did with Mostar Local Council, where we took children and people to admire and learn about Huitilasar, which is a valley in the Mostar locality. We are working with local councils as well on proposals to make conservation projects of the environment in their locality. For example, I mentioned Dweira. We're working very close with San Lawrence Local Council. We give talk to local councils as well, apart from many other things, which I think is being met quite nicely by the public, because every time we have a walk in a locality, the response from the public of that locality is excellent.
It's I was just good. Going to ask you that. From your experience, what are how are these initiatives being greeted, both by schools and by the community?
Okay. By schools, it's fantastic, because I said we're getting, for example, in Witoli alone, we're getting 4 schools every week. To be honest, we opened a booking system in the beginning of the scholastic year, and by December it was fully booked for the whole scholastic year. So we had to turn down those schools that were still coming. Obviously, we're working to increase our capacity on other nature reserves. We're working, for example, on another place like Shore Plugging to actually have even a study center there for school children. With regards to the locality and the public, the response is magnificent in a way that we're getting more than we want. When we do guided walks, we like to restrict the number of people, because sometimes if you have a large crowd, you can start making a degradation of the environment. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what started out to be 30 people became 60, then became 100, then 120. Then we said, look, this cannot go on. So now we have started a booking system where actually we take 30 people for each activity, because having 120 is difficult to control. And when you're in sensitive areas, you could be doing more damage than good, even though the
at
people
at the same
would
time, I mean, when you see this kind of response, you're very much you become excited and enthusiastic.
Yes, in fact, we were hearing people saying that if you, there were people not inside Nature Trust who tell you if you see a large crowd in the countryside, it must be a Nature Trust activity. So the word is running around that these type of activities are very popular. And every time we open the booking, we're leaving a lot of people disappointed, actually, because we have to limit numbers.
So we have just spoken about how Nature Trust is actually helping the community, but how can the community help Nature Trust?
Okay. This is a very important question. In fact, let's put it this way. The community is already starting to help Nature Trust. We are an NGO that obviously, being a voluntary NGO, to cover the whole islands of Malta is not an easy task. Everywhere or in some corner or some isolated place on the island, something is happening that could be environmentally degrading. What is happening is that we are getting a good response from the public, who are actually starting to report these illegal activities going on. We get reports, for example, of illegal dumping, illegal building, people catching protected species, illegal bird shooting, for example, and so forth. I think
what happens when you get these reports?
Yes, and this is what, in fact, today, as the law is today, if somebody wanted to report an illegal activity, if they report to the police, this person is asked to testify against those persons who are doing the illegal action. And so this is turning people off from really going to report somebody, because they are afraid of some vandalism or some vengeance. But we have introduced a green line where people can actually phone, and we pass on the complaints without revealing the people who gave us the information to the police. Obviously, being an NGO, most of the reports are taken up and investigated. We also do a level of investigation before actually passing on the report. So sometimes you get people who try to joke and pass on false alarms. But since we know that we want to be credible and we work very close with the administrative law enforcement unit, we would like to always pass genuine reports to them. So in a way, this decreases their workload, which sometimes if you have a false report, you're sending out policemen on site for nothing. I must say here that the ALE is a very good unit. We work excellently with them. They are very dedicated people. The only problem is that they're a small unit. In fact, when you consider that the ALE is just 23 policemen, who work on a roster basis, so you don't have more than 8 policemen on duty each time, and they don't just cover environmental issues, but for example they cover gambling, prostitution, this sort. So their work is not easy. But we find a lot of cooperation, and we are also trying to lobby for the authorities to beef up this unit as well. Coming to this, we again take immediate steps on reports. We write to MEPA, for example, inform the police. Sometimes when we see no action has been taken, we also go further by taking pictures and making a full-blown press release, which creates more public awareness. Sometimes we even manage to get a lot of public outcry that just a small case turned up to be quite supportive from the public, and action was taken as well. So you can say that the public is helping. We would like to see more people reporting. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the reporting level isn't still satisfactory as much as we like it to, it like to see it, but it's on the increase. And I urge the public that can help us, even if they don't want to show themselves. I mean, even first of all, if they can support us through becoming members, it's already good because it gives us the financial backing. Mm-hmm. Because as you see, as I mentioned, we have lots of projects and all these actually need financial backing. But through even a little bit of support, help, or just a small report, this can do wonders.
And how can the public enroll as a member? Where can they find the Green Line? Is there the website? We'll give it out later on. But is there a particular phone number that we might proceed to give? Maybe.
Yes. Well, to become members is quite simple. You can either visit the website to get some details, or else you can write to info@naturetrustmalta.org. Or send to our postal address, which is PO Box 9, Valletta. Always address it as Nature Trust Malta. So that's quite easy. The other issue where you said the Green Line is 21313150. 21313150. And we're not always in because obviously we're voluntary, so we're running about also doing other work, but we have an answering machine. We try to take up the calls daily as well, look them up, and take action immediately if they merit immediate action. This is very important for us because we not only help to stop environment degradation, but we also compile more data on places that might be ecologically important and need immediate action. Yeah. In fact, as Nature Trust, we also presented to the government 30 possible sites. As you know, the EU is now compiling the Natura 2000 sites for the 10 EU countries. Natura 2000 sites are sites that the EU considers of an European importance, and we have proposed 30 sites in Malta to be considered by the authorities to then declare as Natura 2000 sites.
That is very good. So, apart from this, from your experience as well, is the level of degradation by humans, by the Maltese, decreasing, or is it increasing? Well, this might be a bit of a tricky question, no? Because maybe some damages might not have been noticed before. But from your experience right now, even though the Maltese might be more aware, however, are they actually doing something?
I don't think they're doing enough. We're still seeing a lot of degradation. I mean, one has to consider that the Malta is very small, so land use is a big major problem. When you consider that when you have special conservation areas that are having an impact from development, housing, industry, agriculture, roads, all this is in a way creating a lot of pressure on these areas. But slowly we're seeing a change in mentality. I mean, it is very slow, and sometimes we fear that areas might be lost. But we think if we start acting now, we might be able to save some of the important areas that we are losing there. I must say that we are getting a lot of support from companies. We have big companies like HSBC, Method, ST Microelectronics, who are all supporting Nature Trust in its work. Together with them, we have managed to plant trees, do cleanup campaigns, do even marine cleanup, because as a something I didn't mention, Nature Trust also has a rescue team for marine mammals and turtles. We have a team of about 13 people dedicated. They're all volunteers, but they work on a 24-hour roster basis, because one never knows when we get a call for an injured turtle or injured dolphin. We managed to save quite a lot of turtles last year. Dolphins, unfortunately, those who was ashore were already dead. But we are also working with our foreign sponsors, because I said we work with WWF, which is a big organization, and other NGOs, to maybe set up a rehab center. And this would be like a sort of animal hospital for these wild animals, where we would not only look into then turtles and dolphins, but we also intend to open to injured hedgehogs, for example, and other animals that might come along. We're also working close with International Animal Rescue, who deal with injured birds, where we're trying to get them with us to have one clinic under one roof for all these injured animals, because we're trying to cure these animals and give them back to the wild.
Excellent. Okay, so, well, I thank you for your information, Starter. Just very briefly, a concluding remark, you'd just like to pass on what we have just said, just to summarize a bit about Nature Trust.
Well, what Nature Trust is trying to reach everybody, so I encourage everybody to really take up this call. If they don't want to become members, but they feel they can do something good, they can always call us and report anything. Mm-hmm. I encourage everybody to start appreciating nature. So when one goes to the country, one should really start observing rather than picking up flowers and taking them home or taking tadpoles home. These are there to be enjoyed by everybody. Yes. If we all give our share, we'll make Malta paradise and something that could even be of benefit to ecotourism, which after all comes back to the economy of Malta.
Thank you very much. So, dear friends, as one song used to say, this is the end, at least for today. I'd just like to finish off by giving you Nature Trust's web address, which is www.naturetrustmalta.org. So it's www.naturetrustmalta.org. That is all for us from us at Shades of Green. Once again, I thank Mr. Atard for his contribution to the program. In the meantime, I remind you, same time, same frequency. Bye-bye and take good care.